Hello, all my eloquent players. This is the Dominion League Weekly Podcast with another interview episode. My guest today is Celch Rosa. Season 53 is her 11th season in League. Please note that we recorded the interview during the league break between seasons 52 and 53. Celch Rosa has forever alternated between F and E tiers, very narrowly missing out on a promotion to D last season. On Discord, you will most commonly find her in the Wiki Improvement subsection. She also enjoys what Janiel's called the pedantic semantics, and always has fun things to share in the food channel. If you have followed this program for a while, you will know that she is also an esteemed wordsmith and has gifted us wonderful poems for the Advent calendar and the lyrics to Dudproof, our very own Dominion song parody of Whip Smart by Liz Phair. I am fairly certain she will feel that this introduction is too extensive already, so without further ado, I give you Celch Rosa. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. A little bit nervous, but it's good to be here. How are you?
I'm nervous too, but I think it's going to be great.
You've done this many times, so.
I have, but I'm still always nervous.
That's fair.
Even with people that I like talk regularly to, I'm still nervous.
Yeah, I imagine it feels a bit different, I guess, to take on a role.
Yeah. It's more official,
mm-hmm.
kind of. Anyways, are you ready?
I think I'm ready. As ready as I'm going to be.
All right. How's the temperature now?
Oh, it's much better. It's like overcast 21. It's a normal British summer. But yeah, the last like Monday and Tuesday, oh my goodness. Is it still very hot there?
Well, it's below 30 degrees now,
mm-hmm.
But it's still like 27, 28, so it's like, I like a good 23 degrees
myself.
Yeah,
that's pleasant. That is pleasant.
Yeah, and I chose to stay inside all day yesterday, which was a good decision.
Yeah, it's just so sad because, like, at least here normally if the sun is out and it's, like, a nice sunny day, you have to make the most of it and get outside.
Yeah.
And it was just, it felt so bad to stay inside hiding from the sun. But, yeah, we seem to be past it really now, so.
It's a question of survival, really.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's start with the meaning of your username.
Okay.
I remember that you, at some point, you said that you invented the name and you just liked the way it sounded.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's pretty much it. Unfortunately, there's not like a fun story behind it or anything. I just picked a nice pronounceable string that I thought sounded good and pleasing. It's possible that I was slightly influenced by the name of my old dog, who was called Sally, so...
Is
that
mm-hmm. I know that some people like to shorten it to Sal. Is that acceptable to you?
Yeah, sure. I don't mind that at all as a nickname.
And Sierra Lundy wanted to know what you have against Pepperosa. Although Sierra Lundy, come on, like it's not the salt. Right?
Well, right. I also feel like there's another assumption hiding in this question. I mean, like, I've never met Pepperosa, but I feel like we'd be good friends. I think we'd get along well. So yeah, I would like to meet Pepperosa.
Yeah, someone's trying to stir up conflict there.
Exactly.
But we're not having that here on this program.
No.
All right. I'm very curious about this because it's very mysterious, but what is the meaning of your avatar on Discord?
Oh, yeah. This is like the least mysterious thing ever for two reasons. One of which is that obviously everybody knows that that's the woman from Salt the Earth. And the other reason is that I think I very loudly picked out that particular avatar by making a very self-centered post all about my angst about choosing it. So somewhere on Discord.
I remember that.
Yeah, there's a record of exactly why I chose it. But yeah, I've been very happy with it, actually. I hesitated a bit over the choice, but I feel like I've really developed an affinity for that one. So I think she'll be sticking around. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's cool that the word salt is in there, even though it's not really a sounds like. And I definitely feel like I identify a little bit with A, her facial expression, and B, the thing her hair does. I feel like we share some of the hair struggles. Maybe she would sympathize.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I attach super quickly to, like, the visual, I don't know, anything visual. And so I'm always confused when people use the emoji somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm
like,
what's that to do with Sartreza?
I've actually become very, like, jealous or possessive or something about that. It's like, that's not what that means. That's me.
Exactly. Same with Changeling, where I'm like...
Oh, yeah. It's assemble me, right?
Yeah, it's always funny. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe, just in general, share a little bit about yourself, as much or as little as you like?
Yeah, sure. So in my early 30s, which I think seems to be the very classic Dominion Discord demographic.
I think we're the same age. I think you're like 3 or 4 months older.
Oh, really? Are you an 89 mm-hmm. birthday as well? Or maybe not quite if you're just after. Are you just into 90?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a good age.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm from the UK. I grew up in Yorkshire, which is in Northern England. But fortunately, it's been quite a long time since I lived there. I spent most of my adult life in various parts of the South. Lived in Wales very briefly as well. That was nice. In terms of work, I'm a linguist by training, which I make a lot of noise about on Discord, I think. Yeah, so until quite recently, actually, I was working in research and teaching in academia, mostly in the sort of experimental and cognitive side of linguistics. So language processing in the brain, sort of how do various aspects of that work? And interactions with other cognitive mechanisms, so like working memory and predictive processing, that kind of stuff. But more recently, I actually just finished a postdoc towards the tail end of last year. And since then, I decided to take a bit of time away from academia. I've been doing various bits of freelance stuff. And at the moment, I'm currently probably heading for a real job again sometime soon. We'll see.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
I know. But academia, I mean, there's so much to love about it, so many good things, and also it's like so rough on the mental health, at least for me. I have a real love-hate relationship with it, which I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, I kind of like am moving like further and further away from academia, even though I've spent like over 10 years at university and got like multiple degrees and stuff, but it's just I can't deal with all the like strange, I guess, if you wanted to be nice about it, like the networking
that's,
aspect of it, that's just like
I'm very
so
much with you, although that's
difficult.
Like, it's true in a lot of fields, right? It's not a unique problem to academia. But
yeah,
I definitely don't enjoy that either. I think, like, temperamentally, the thing I find most challenging about it is just the sort of the day-to-day knowledge that what you're working on may or may not actually do anything useful. Uh-huh. And the sort of the feedback loop, you know, is so extended and indefinite.
Yeah.
It's temperamentally rough, I think. Some people love it, and I think that's amazing. Like, I'm really glad some people just thrive on that. I think it's brilliant. But...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's more like figuring out if you are cut out for it or not.
Absolutely.
And then, I'm kind of making my peace with maybe not being cut out for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy the research aspect so much. Like, I'm so curious, and like, I studied history, and history is just so fascinating to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the time. I can't really see myself like working in that area, unfortunately.
No, I definitely feel you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Monster wanted to know what your favorite vowel and your favorite yes. consonants are in IPA, whatever that is, and so you know.
Okay, I love this question. So first of all, I have, like, a small bone to pick with Monster about this question because she's asked me to answer in a written format for a question in an audio medium. I will do my best. So the IPA, if you don't know, for anyone who doesn't, is the International Phonetic Association alphabet. So it's just a scheme for transcribing speech sounds in written form. So I can try to name some favorite sounds, favorite speech sounds. So I'll start with consonants, I guess. This is definitely a hard choice. So I think a voiced bilabial trill might be a pretty popular pick. So that's like a sort of kind of sound.
Do it again.
That's a good sound, right? Who could dislike
yes.
that? And I believe like it's pretty rare for it to be used contrastively, so like as part of the phonological system, but I believe it does happen in a few languages, so it's a legit choice, and couldn't tell you which ones off the top of my head. And to make sure to catch Munster's specifications, in IPA it's represented by like a small caps B, I believe. Am I allowed a second choice? Because consonants are very fun.
You are.
So I think my second choice might be an implosive of some kind. Probably the easiest one to produce is like, again, a voiced bilabial. So like, bah, that kind of thing. That's a great sound, in my opinion. And I think in IPA that's written like a lowercase b with a hook. So like the up stem has a curve on it. Oh, and I can't really get away without mentioning clicks because people probably will be expecting those. So like a... Especially if you superimpose like a nasal or something onto a click, that's really fun to do. So like that kind of thing. Those are great sounds.
Wow. Yeah. Whatever just happened. Very impressive.
Those are some favorite speech sounds, I suppose. Vowels is a lot harder. I thought for quite a long time about what vowel to pick, but they're so messy, the vowel space, it's a big mess. but I suppose I do have kind of a soft spot for the vowel, so like very northern English vowels, so from kind of my home dialect, as in like a good northern butter or something like that, as opposed to very southern posh like butter. So yeah, that's like a back rounded kind of close mid vowel, I suppose. And in IPA, it looks like an upside down omega, so like a U with little horseshoe extensions.
Is that similar to like the E that we have in German, like at the ending of words, like gerne or heute?
That one I think is more of a schwa, so that's like an extremely, extremely mid vowel, so like just a very, very central . Almost in many languages kind of ends up like the default vowel, like certainly in English and I believe in German as well. If you get like a reduced syllable, so like unstressed and reduced in length potentially, then quite often what you'll get there is a schwa.
Okay.
So a bit different to that. A little bit more back, a little bit more rounded, a little bit more close mid, so a little bit more close, so higher in the mouth than that.
I'm sure that's true. I don't think I could spot the difference. But...
It's hard. I'm definitely not a phonetics expert, so yeah, I know not where I speak really, but that's fun. Great question.
Lies. Okay, so just one vowel.
Vowels, I don't have as many favorites.
That's totally fine. And of course, my favorite question of the general section is, what is your favorite color?
Yeah, this is a hard question for me because I'm just so very much like not a visually oriented person. I really had to think about this. Like, green is nice. Or for a Dominion context answer, I think it probably has to be orange, right? Because, like, who doesn't love a duration card?
I gotta say, in Discord context, I'm always reminded of how much I don't like oranges in color.
Oh, really?
It's, yeah, just, like, whenever I get a new role and it's orange, I'm like...
Oh, no. Is that why you dropped out of the Seaside tournament? Were you afraid of getting an orange roll?
I think on the main server I'm safe now because of the BCDE mod color.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to pick my own color for that. So
I see now. I see. Yes, this is a very important pick to you.
Or let's say Assemble Me made a very educated guess about the color that I would like.
good job by him.
So no, it was just like purely for time reasons because I got stressed about like going on a vacation where I don't know. Like it always says, oh yeah, we have Wi-Fi, but how good is the Wi-Fi really?
Do you want to play a bunch of matches on your vacation? Like maybe, also maybe not, right?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I'll be on vacation for 3 weeks.
That's a nice vacation.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. But can I like not play Dominion for 3 weeks straight?
That would be a long time. It's
an interesting question.
That would be a long time.
We'll have to see. Only one way to find out.
Yeah. I haven't signed up for that tournament either. I'm still considering it. Maybe.
Oh, do it. I think it's
going to be also going on holiday in the middle of it. Not for 3 weeks, but could be tricky.
I do enjoy the mixed tournaments. Like, I haven't really played a lot of them, but they're so great to get to learn the cards and combinations and stuff, so I can recommend.
Yeah, it was the first one I played, and it was good. I enjoyed it.
It was awesome.
Although I also have to say, I was done with that one by the end. Like, those were long games, a lot of them.
Yeah, I saw. You also had, like, this long, long game against Akuchi.
Yeah, that was such a long match. I mean, it was really fun, really enjoyed it, but it was long.
Yeah, so long. Maybe it's just Aku, you know?
I don't think it was Aku's fault. And yeah, some of my other matches were really long as well in that tournament.
I mean, yeah, when you get clashes, it's just, it's always going to be long. Yeah. Well, do you want to do the warm-up first, because we're not warmed up yet, or the quiz?
I have noticed that warm-ups don't seem to come as a warm-up in your interviews, which is fun. That's a good feature. Let's warm up and then do the quiz. We should get warm.
You know how this goes. 10 questions, either or. You can say both or neither occasionally.
Okay.
But you are encouraged to make a choice.
Okay, I'll do my best.
So, Liverpool or Leeds?
Oh, well, this is an easy one because Leeds is my hometown, so it has to be Leeds.
could go either way. You never know. curry or pasta?
Oh, this one's tough. I think it probably has to be curry, but I do like pasta a lot as well. That's a hard one.
leopards or caterpillars?
Oh, gosh. Those are very different creatures. Let's go with caterpillars. Not really sure why.
Dominion or crosswords?
Oh, no! This isn't fair.
tell anyone.
Yeah, no one at all. Maybe this is where I deploy the both. Maybe this is what I saved it for. I mean, honestly, by sort of revealed preferences of the last couple of years, you would probably have to say Dominion, because I have played a lot more Dominion than I have solved crosswords in the last couple of years. But crosswords are really good. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I'd have thought crosswords is something that you do like in the morning while you drink your tea or something.
Or you could play Dominion in that exactly same scenario.
yes. That's true.
I definitely find that they scratch quite a bit of the same itch, actually. Like that kind of puzzle-solving itch. It's definitely a similar niche to me.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think crosswords, like solving crosswords is so satisfying. It's definitely more, like to me personally, I don't really do crosswords that often. But solving a crossword is like much more satisfying than like playing Dominion. Or maybe not more, but in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not, it's different in some ways. But I think there's some overlap in like what my brain is looking for, I guess. Mm-hmm. To some extent, yeah, sorted by the same thing.
Dominion or sports?
Oh, this is also tough. I think I have to go with sports on that one. Like, I would not want to give up sport. I could give up Dominion if you really made me.
Yeah, well, if I had to choose, like, I would always choose sports too.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, so good to release stress.
Exactly. It's like...
And Dominion sometimes just causes stress.
Yeah, I mean, it can release stress too, but I feel like I could find another game if I had to. But all sports, no, I've got to keep those.
All right, you have to choose one. Either drink pulpy orange juice or watch a movie.
Oh. I mean, I have been known to do both of these things. There are some movies I like, so I'll go with the movie.
There are some movies you like. Okay.
Definitely. I mean, there's some movies I really like. I just don't watch them very often.
It's perfectly fine. Morning or evening?
Oh, morning. I'm definitely a morning person. My brain switches off in the evening. It's not good.
Yeah. This is the evening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm somewhat awake.
Write on keyboard or by hand?
Ooh, this is actually tough because in terms of like getting information out, keyboard every time, 100%. But there is something like very tactile and pleasing about handwriting, I do find. And I don't use it very much anymore. So it's like, it's really unnerving just how unfluent I am at it these days, I suppose. So that's, and yet I don't really want to do more handwriting because like, what is that for? You know?
Yeah, it's so, not very this century.
I do sort of get that, a bit of that tactile enjoyment out of typing as well, to be honest. I have a nice mechanical keyboard that I really like.
So. Ooh, those are the loud ones, right?
Yeah, it's quite loud.
Yeah.
Very satisfying. Yeah. Feels good. Yeah.
Tea or cycling?
Oh, this is a strange comparison.
I was just thinking of like British things and things that I know you like.
those are for quite different scenarios. Are we talking like all teas or specifically English breakfast tea?
Whichever is more important to you.
Well, you know, the one is strictly the subset of the other, right? So I don't know if that really helps me. I would probably have to go with cycling. Again, like, I could give up tea if I really had to for some strange reason, like a quiz. But, yeah, cycling is very useful.
All right, so the last question of course is Dominion Online or IRL, but I feel like I know the answer to this one.
Yeah, I've yet to play Dominion IRL, which I'm sure it would be fun. Like, I'd definitely try it, but I guess I find it hard to believe that I'd like it more than online.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's got to be online.
I feel like it's more social.
Yeah.
So much more exhausting.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely imagine that would be the case.
Although I noticed, like last weekend, there was this IRL tournament here.
Oh yeah.
It's very and cool. I'm not awful at like keeping track of points, actually.
Oh my goodness, I would be so bad. I'm very impressed because I would be disastrously bad.
I was so surprised because I was like, there were two, I played five games, and in two games I remember I was like, okay, so there are two provinces left and you have four and I have two, so I need, so I just, I don't know, it was nice. Present somehow.
Yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised.
I also, I'm sure that I would just constantly forget to like do things that the client just prompts you to do, and you're like, oh yes, I do want to play my role.
There's an archive, right? Mm-hmm, yeah,
right, exactly. I mean, I suppose IRL, like, you probably remember the archive, right? Because it's in play.
Do-do-do.
I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, so my quiz question for you is, can you tell me how many seasons of League you have played total?
Yeah, I believe I can, because I think it's 10. This was my 10th one.
That's correct. This was too easy.
Well, 10 was a memorable number, so I happen to know.
Yeah. I think we started at the same time.
That seems
But I couldn't tell you how many seasons I've played. It was just a very nice round number. And incidentally, do you want to hazard a guess about how many unique opponents you have played in League?
I feel like I might be able to add it up because, so I've played 50 matches, right? And my duplicate opponents, there aren't that many. I think I've had Daphne Beachcomber, who I played for the second time this season. Healthy Duck, I remember. Alunic. Chestic, I've played twice. I think JP Utzer. Is there anyone else? New Exodus. Maybe one more? No, I'm going to say 6, in which case it would be 50 minus 6, so that's 44. Is it right?
Yes, right! Oh, it's 44! Wow! Great. I am in awe.
I don't know. It's memorable who you play in League. It's very stressful.
Well, that's true. That was quite impressive.
Well, I'm working with many fewer seasons, I think, than most people who have answered this question.
Okay, but I just compare this to myself, and I can tell you that I have played. I don't think I've played one opponent twice.
Oh well, then you would easily answer the question.
I guess, but it involves math.
Not much.
I could certainly not answer it on the spot. If you gave me 10 minutes, I'm sure I could come up with the answer. But in a situation like this, I would be like.
I'm pleased I managed to figure through that one.
All right, so when and how did you start playing Dominion?
So I guess probably this is a very common answer, but during the pandemic. So a group of friends and I had a regular board game kind of online night during the early part of the pandemic, and at some point I think one of the group had played it before in person at some point and discovered that there was an online version, so she suggested it, and we played a couple of games, and I'm pretty sure they were horrendously awful, base only 5-player horrible, not actually terribly fun games, but I was I was really taken with the, just the mechanics and the setup. I'd never played a deck builder before at all. I found it really fascinating. So I kind of went away afterwards and played the bot a little bit and started looking up how do you actually play this game? And was very quickly quite hooked. So then I decided to get a silver sub. So I think this was the summer. It was the early summer during the first year of the pandemic. So I played on silver sub for a couple of months maybe. Then I got a gold sub and joined the Discord. It's the addiction is real.
Yeah, you get sucked into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you come around to playing League?
It definitely took me a little while. I lurked on the Discord for a while before I even thought about entering League. It seemed quite scary. I don't remember exactly what swayed me. I think I became just very fascinated with all the stats and everything, and I kind of wanted in on that, all the history that people had going back. So yeah,
I want you this. Want it to be a data point.
Exactly. and I enjoyed it, so I've stuck with it. It's been good. It's very stressful.
Yeah. I remember we are talking about this sometimes, but you are more the latter. Player.
Yeah, I love ladder. So fun. Yeah. Very relaxing. Doesn't stress me out. Not usually, anyway. Whereas tournaments, yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed them, definitely. And it's definitely, socially nice, right? You get to play people from the Discord, and it's really good in terms of community building. But I do find it much more intimidating to show up to a tournament match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm always stressed, but for some reason... I'm more willing to put up with the stress for tournament matches than I am for a random ladder match. Although, I have to say, the other day I played a non-rated match against a human, and it was fine.
That's as far as you'll go.
It was less stressful than a rated game. But then at some point, the other person went, like, near the end, they went, be right back, and then they never returned.
Oh, no. See, this is the problem with unrated, I guess, like, that kind of thing will happen.
Yeah. It was okay, but yeah, after that I was like, okay, I'm going to wait until I try this again.
It's very interesting to me psychologically how different people seem to be on this, like just as a matter of curiosity about how differently human beings can tick. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, totally. Totally. For me, yeah, I feel like it's just like it's tapping into like some of my like unhealthy patterns that I have where I feel like I have to be perfect and I have to, I don't know, like if I don't win, it's kind of embarrassing and people are gonna like laugh about me and stuff. So it's like very, very irrational.
Yeah. I mean, I totally identify with all of that, but it's like so much more for tournaments than for ladder.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It really is. It's,
yeah. Oh, well. I guess
it would be very boring if we were all the same.
Yes. And also, like, on some days I'm more and bolder than on others. And
so, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sometimes I can push myself to
do
things, and then most of the times I realize, well, it's not that bad. But the threshold is just so high.
Yeah, I definitely felt that way about, I think the Allies release tournament was really kind of the first like non-league Discord tournament. I mean, I entered the championship, but that's kind of different, right? You just play one match, lose everything, and then you're done, if you're me. But yeah, the Allies release one, it was like a lot smaller, and I was like, oh, I'll give this a go, and it's brand new cards. This is absolutely terrifying to play with brand new cards like in a tournament match to learn them. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it, so that was definitely a case of that.
Yeah, I also like about the non-league tournaments, I like that it's a lot of the two things. So it's a lot of people I know, like it's just like so much smaller,
and
so the people who sign up are like people I see on Discord and talk to on Discord. And then of course, like I get to play people I wouldn't normally get to play, like Jane Ellis.
Right. It's really cool to get to play like a really good player and learn a lot. And
Or they Apogee. Yeah.
Indeed. And they often make recordings as well, which is really cool.
Yeah. What is your favorite card-shaped object, if you have one?
Yeah, this is a really tough question. I did think about it and I kind of failed to pick an answer. I mean, like I guess what I like about Dominion is the fact that each kingdom is this new, fresh thing, right? Where you get to look at these things in their new context. About the closest I could come up with for an answer was, I do find it really enjoyable, those cases where you can persuade something that's like normally a weak card to just, its niche is there on that board, and you just manage to persuade it to work. That's really satisfying. So like Diplomat Draw, that's like when it works, it's really nice. Or something like, I was going to say Prince, although I think the new version is like actually significantly less niche than the old one, right? I've been putting it to definitely a lot more use, although I'm not really sure whether that's it's that much stronger or just been having fun with it. But old Prince, I think, was more in that category. Like, you would occasionally find a spot for it, and it's really satisfying to make it work. The other one I thought of naming was anytime you get to catapult some rocks, because it comes up so rarely, and it's so fun to do.
Oh, it's definitely, like, I've never played with rocks ever.
Oh, I think it's happened for me a few times. I don't know whether, like, any of them were actually any good or not, but it's very satisfying.
I was wondering if, like, clashes make for more rocks games.
Did I maybe get one chance to rotate? I don't think I've yet rotated the catapult pile with Battle Fun. Yeah. And it's, I'm waiting for that moment.
Someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will totally throw the game for that opportunity.
You gotta earn those style points.
Yeah.
So, do you have a least favorite card?
I don't know that I really do. I have a few on my dislike list, but it's not easy to pick one out specifically. What is the least fun? They all have a niche, you know. I'll tell you what, actually, I will name, it's probably not my least favourite card by any means, but I recently removed Cultist from my dislike list, and then I immediately got, like, three or four Cultist games, what felt like, in a row, and they were all, like, because sometimes Cultist can be kind of fun, but none of them were good Cultist games. I was like, maybe this was earning its spot.
Okay. Interesting. So when do cards migrate from your dislike list to your ban list, or do they even?
Oh, I don't have a ban list yet. I feel like it's quite extreme to ban a card. I do think at some point I probably should ban Possession, just because, like, it's not really meant to work with any other cards anymore, right? it's kind of been designed out of the game, I feel. But I don't really feel that. I think I do have it on dislike right now, but the games are so rare because so many people have it banned, and I do find it's, the occasional Possession game is chaotic and fun. I don't mind that at all. And it's also, like, definitely it's often broken, but it's not always broken, right? Sometimes there are some interesting decisions, so I don't know. I'll probably ban it at some point eventually. I can definitely understand, like, for tournament games, wanting it banned because, yeah.
Yeah.
A Possession stalemate wouldn't be fun in League or something. That did happen to me once, actually. Not a stalemate, but... Oh, no, we had two Possession games. Who was that against? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I think it was last season. Maybe the one before. Two Possession games in one match. That was a bit much.
Wow. Yeah. I have yet to win a Possession game.
Oh, really?
And then an official tournament. Yeah,
I don't know about a tournament.
Had a couple... Yeah. Like a handful of Possession games, but I don't think I've ever won one.
I can win with it on ladder quite often when it comes up. I think because people so often just don't see it, so they don't really know what to do with it necessarily.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you do get the odd stupid game where it's just broken.
Do you have a favorite heirloom?
I mean, I want to say Magic Lamp, I think. It's pretty fun. I know a lot of people think it's just, like, too swingy or whatever, which, like, that's a valid criticism. But the mini game of amassing your little six uniques, oh, that's very fun to me. I consider that to make up for the swinginess.
Yeah. No, I see that. And any fun synergies that you like?
Yeah, lots of synergies are fun. I definitely wouldn't necessarily think this is a favourite or anything, because it's probably not one that's great for the game, but a fun thing that I encountered recently that's new was Royal Carriage on Princess. That was kind of wild.
Ooh,
nice. Because that works now, right? But yeah, not a favourite. Oh, I tell you what is maybe more of a favourite. It's another Magic Lamp thing, but fishing that out of the trash with treasure, that's really fun. Can get some good loops going there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of a silly favourite. Like, it doesn't make for the most interesting games, right? It's more of a just whoever gets there first is winning. Yeah. So I don't know about favourite, but it's neat.
Yeah. I'm really into Trail. Like, all the different, like, things that you can do with Trail and Trash and Discard and stuff. I think it's so fun.
I really haven't got my head around it at all yet. I need to play, like, 1,000 more games at least.
Yeah. I'm just, like, in the phase where, like, whenever there's Trail on the board, I'm like, I have to get, like, all the Trails and do stuff, like, even though, like, without just stopping to think if it even makes sense.
But it usually seems like it does make some kind of sense somehow, it feels like. It does a lot. It has a lot.
Sometimes it's the only village, so. Mm-hmm. Yep. I love Trail. It's a great card. I have to make room on my like list for Trail.
I don't think I have a
Note
like list.
Note to self. You don't have a like list?
No. I guess I haven't sort of thought about making one.
So you just have a dislike list? No like list, no ban list.
Yeah, well, so like list, like, I play mostly on ladder and it doesn't do anything on there, right? So I guess I just haven't really felt the need.
True. True.
So I guess that's why.
Yeah, see, I'm so out of touch with letter.
Yeah.
Interesting. You are going to the desert island.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only bring the base set and one expansion. What would the expansion be?
This is another really tough question. I think I might have a controversial answer, although I feel like maybe I'm not the first person to say this, but I think maybe I would not bring Dominion to a desert island with one expansion. Is base plus one expansion really that fun? I don't know how long it would last me. I don't know. I've played a tiny bit, just to try it out on the TGG app.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially that's what it is on there if you don't buy the expansions, because at the moment they have like a rotating weekly free one, right? And I don't know. Those aren't very fun kingdoms for the most part, in my opinion.
So TGG is the desert island.
I guess so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I could rephrase the question and ask you what your favorite expansion is.
The other reason this question is hard is that I'm not very good at like knowing what's in what expansion, because I kind of jumped in mostly all at once. That is hard. I mean, one that is very differentiable is Allies, for obvious reasons. That was the first new one to come out since I started playing, and it's really interesting, so maybe I would name that one.
I was always so impressed when people were like, oh yeah, and this is that expansion,
right?
And they could like say but now that Allies has come out, I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
Oh,
I see.
I know which cards are in Allies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We already established that we haven't established it quite yet. The question is what your favorite non-league tournaments are. I was thinking we've established that you prefer ladder to everything else, but we haven't actually established that. Do you prefer ladder to everything else?
I think I would probably have to say yes. Like, if you forced me to give up either ladder or league, unfortunately, I would be sad about it, but I would give up league, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I like the other tournaments as well. I haven't played in that many non-league ones, like I was saying. Yeah. Both Allies Release and Allies Mix were really fun. I should play in some more. I probably will.
I haven't seen you in size games, I don't think.
No, I almost signed up once because there was like, they needed someone else for numbers, and I was like, oh, I'll be that person. I'll be like the floating person who comes in if the numbers are needed, and then I wasn't needed, so then I was sort of relieved.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's for you, but I'm okay.
Exactly.
How do you like the coven matches?
Oh, yes, I should have named that one, actually. That's a really fun, nice little tournament. Really enjoy it. It's so chill. It feels very low-key and relaxed, just really enjoyable. I like the format. I like playing four games. I like the sort of little leaderboard that it generates week by week. Endless Swiss is really, I like it a lot. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And I'm not biased at all by being a mod.
That's okay. No, I like it too. It's like, it's just, to me, it feels so different to all the other tournaments, just because it's like such low stakes. It's such a nice environment.
Exactly. Yeah. Very.
Everyone is so nice. And I mean,
the main Discord
almost everyone
very nice
is very
well.
Nice.
Right.
But like, I like our little.
There's an extra little bit of camaraderie, right?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
And also, I like just chatting with people too. And also because we have like so many, like you're so much closer to people who are like stronger players.
Exactly.
That it's just the threshold to kind of approach them and be like, hi, can you maybe?
Yeah, for sure. Like I've got to play Chorus a bunch and Bitterworm Coil a bunch. That's like, I've learned a lot. It's really...
Yeah, it's really cool. Oh, this is always very interesting to me. Do you have any players you are always looking forward to playing against? And if so, who are they?
This is Difficult question. I mean, like, it's always really cool to play against someone who records, right? I think it's kind of a cop-out answer because I already said it, and it doesn't name a specific person. But no, I do genuinely really enjoy going back and like seeing their perspective and noticing many of my mistakes and wishing I had been less stupid. But no, that's really fun. Oh, one specific person I could name actually is that I've been very thoroughly beaten up by Wandering Winder on video a couple of times, and that's like a very cool experience. And I did once manage to get one game over him, so that was like extremely,
Wow.
I mean, I had very good luck, I'm sure. But yeah, that was super cool. And it's really cool. And
Success.
yeah, and especially since like his videos come out on quite a significant delay, I guess. So like you're kind of looking out for it, like, oh, am I gonna feature? Maybe. And yeah, that's very fun.
Cool. So do you, this is me like knowing nothing about Ladder, do you match the same people often?
I would say there's definitely a few players I notice, like maybe we're quite active at the same times of day or something. Like I definitely have some regular matches that seem to pop up. Probably people who play quite a lot and at similar times of day to me, I would assume. But I would say that's a relatively small proportion. Like probably most of my ladder matches is either someone I've never seen before or like very, very few times, I think. I'm not sure. I would have to run the numbers. Hard to say. I might be slightly weird on that as well if you looked at my stats, because I don't really like to rematch people on ladder, which I think a lot of people do. I just play one game and then I'll look for a new opponent. Whereas I think a lot of people, if they find a match, they'll play several games. So I don't know.
And do you have anyone you would actually like to play against sometime?
Should it be someone I haven't played before? Who would I like to play? Gosh, I don't know. It would be fun to play any of the really good players, right? Because it takes the pressure off as well. That's the great thing. You don't have to win any games. It's, the expectations are zero. Yeah, I don't know. I'll cop
That's
out. I won't
true.
name anyone specifically.
That's perfectly fine. It's allowed. Just in general, do you have any recent memorable matches or moments that you'd like to share?
So the most recent highly memorable match that I have is not one that I was playing in. So the very last match of my league division just this past season. So it was the deciding match of the division, and it was Tufte versus Huevos Locos. And it was the decider in that either of those two or I could win the division depending on the result. So it was very stressful, it was very exciting. And so I was in the position of needing like a very specific result. I think I needed Huevos to win like either 4-2 or 3.3 to 2.2, for 2.5 even. Did I say 3.2? Whatever, you know what I mean. A tie. So yeah, I had this like very specific two possible results that would get me the top spot, and I was like, I think I had the tiebreaker against Werewolves, but not against Tufte, who really beat me up in our match. So I was like, obviously I wanted to spectate this match, and oh my goodness, it was not only was it a really long match, it was like just first player, first player, first player. So I was expecting, I don't really know why, but I was not really expecting my hopes to still be alive for the last game. So, I was really biting my nails. It was a lot of fun in spec chat. And then a few minutes into the last game, the players had to pause for 30 minutes while Werewolves left for a meeting. So I was just left to like stew in my angst. It was fantastic. It was all very dramatic. Yeah, and then the end result was that it was a 3-3 tie the match. So Tufte very deservedly took the division. But yeah, that was extremely fun in a very stressful way. Memorable matches that I've actually played, it would probably have to be that one against Akuchi that you were mentioning earlier, in the Allies mix. That was very epic. Like, it was so cool to be playing Aku in the first place and, like, to watch the video afterwards. And I had no expectations, so it was, like, I mean, I had a lot of luck on my side, I'm pretty sure. But it was just really exciting that I was able to drag that out to 7 games. So I was very pleased with myself as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Aku's a very nice opponent, of course, as well.
Yeah, he's the best. He's so nice. I was just, I don't know, I felt like really guilty after our match because I felt like, oh my god, I dragged this out so much. So I was like, okay, it's not just me. And I think you even beat our longest
yeah,
game.
We had to do two sessions. It was long.
Yeah. Yeah. That does not happen very often. So you do a little bit of modding here and there.
Very little bit.
And Alibi sent in a sneaky question. He wants to know when they are going to get you on the mod team for a league.
Oh, gosh. I do not think I would make a good league mod.
What?
Like, this seems like such a difficult job. Like, conflict resolution and executive decision-making. These are very hard problems. Like, I would really enjoy the, like, more administrative side of it, I think. But actually moderating players and divisions, I don't think that's where my skills lie.
Yeah, the conflict resolution part is also what scares me. Mm-hmm.
You would be a great mod. You should go for it.
I have no problem making decisions at all, but the conflict resolution.
I find that very, very challenging. Like, I love to argue. I will argue a point of view, like, all day. That's one of my favorite activities. But when it comes to actually, like, making the call at the end of the day, someone else can do that. Thank you very much.
I mean, like, I say that, and it's obviously, like, the further away I am from, like, the consequences of that decision, the easier it is for me to make that decision. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I even feel the same. Like, if the decision impacts me very directly, then at least I know, like, or can evaluate whether it was a good decision or not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. That's getting quite philosophical.
Yeah. I always, like, with the town halls and with the polls and, like, consequences from that, that's always a point where I'm like, okay, this, like, I have a strong opinion about this and I'm, like, not happy with, like, the majority decision. But then I'm like, well, yeah, how else are we gonna, like, make decisions here? And also, like, in the end, I'm always in favor of what is making the moderator's life easier.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's always a good argument for me where I'm like, sure, like, yeah, even if that's maybe a minor inconvenience for me, I can totally get behind.
Absolutely. They do such a great job. And clearly, like, so much work goes into
Yeah.
Huge appreciation. Yeah. But I think the town halls are really good. I've enjoyed those a lot. It's very fun to just sort of noodle the arguments around. And it does feel productive, I think.
Oh, it does.
I think I could imagine a bad version of those town halls where it would just feel like people were yelling past each other and nothing was really being very constructive. And in my experience, at least the few I've been to, they don't feel like that at all. They feel...
Yeah, so productive. Also with the polls and stuff, I think that's, like, just a very smart way to...
Just to gauge where people are at.
Yeah, and also, like, just to have some sort of guideline as to what rules to change or not.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I would hope and believe that the polls are not, like, binding in any way. Like, it still comes down to, ultimately, the mod's discretion.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think it's very well organized.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do an amazing job.
Yeah, and it's just, like, always so fascinating that it's all, like, volunteer work, basically. I'm just in awe.
Labor of love. Yes. Very much appreciated.
Yes. Some more general questions. In your opinion, what is the best way to improve?
Oh, I don't know. Don't know that I'm an authority on
this. By the way, did I send you, because, like, in my script, those questions, did I send you those questions too?
I think I did see that one. Yeah, I'm
trying okay, to great. Remember. Okay,
some
okay.
List. Great. Yeah,
it's like I'm not bringing any questions on you that you've never
heard
before.
That doesn't mean I thought of a good answer.
Okay, okay, well, that's on you.
yep, I can't argue with that. what is a good way to improve? I mean, I think the most enjoyable ways I've found that I hope are helping me to improve are just like playing a lot of ladder, watching a lot of good players play and commentate, and of course working on the wiki blurbs. I have learned so much, or at least it feels like I've learned so much through the wiki project, and I really enjoy it. It feels like a very like a way to learn that's very tailored to me, like trying to draft these blurbs and edit what other people have to say and kind of hash it through in the drafting document. Yeah, I really enjoy that. I think, yeah, I must have learned a lot that way. It certainly feels like it.
Let's just talk more about that. Like, what exactly is it that you do? I have to preface this by saying mostly I look at the Dominion Wiki when I'm playing just one and I'm just trying to make sure that I clue the right number for the cost of the card.
I see. That's a very specific use for the wiki. Also highly reasonable. Yeah. So, well, the wiki improvement project is, or the bit of it that I'm active in any case, is all about the strategy blurbs. So, like the part of each page that has a little blurb about how it's good to play with the card, how strong it is. I don't know. Maybe you never read those sections because you're just looking for the cost of the card. But you know, they're supposed to be like pretty brief, which we usually accomplish. Just a broad overview, maybe sort of tailored to not quite a beginner, but like an interested, relatively new player, I would say, who's looking to improve. And so when we started this project, like, gosh, 18 months ago, something like that, maybe more, almost all of those blurbs on the wiki, insofar as they existed, were just incredibly outdated. Had many of them had really, really terrible advice in them that was from like, I don't know, 2010 or something. It just didn't make sense anymore. And so Terra Cubist and a few other people started like a big push to try and improve them gradually. And yeah, I got quite involved in the project. Really enjoy it. So the process is that we have a big list of cards that have not been updated yet for the blurb, and someone drafts like a first attempt at the strategy blurb, and then a few of the rest of us pitch in, give comments, make line edits. Usually we end up sort of revamping the whole thing, tearing it apart, rewriting it. It's a fairly involved process, but really enjoyable one. We have a lot of arguments. It's great. It's very nice, like, collegiate atmosphere, I would say. And then we bring it to Discord for review. And the idea there is to get like a wider audience to just check it over and, you know, give it some peer review, and sign off on it. In practice, like, since its inception, there's a lot of the interest has died off in that channel to like a large extent. So we don't normally get that many more people than have actually been involved in the editing process as well. It would be great to have more votes. Maybe this is a venue to like shill for more people to come and join in. It's yeah, if you don't want to get involved in the writing and the editing, even if you just, you know, come and check the blurbs in Wikivotes and click the bonfire about lady if you think it's a good blurb, or leave some comments if you think there's something missing or whatever. That would be always be great to have more people involved. And you don't have to be like a super amazing player or anything. I mean, obviously it's great if we do get more top players coming on to help us, but also, you know, just any voices you can always pick out if something's unclearly said or whatever. But yeah, I think it's great. I love the project.
Yeah, how often, like how many blurbs are there in 1 week? Just
It's a little bit lumpy. It's sort of, you know, we have a big backlog of drafts that have not been fixed up in the editing document. So we're kind of getting through them at whatever pace we can get through them. I think like Terry Cubist is in charge of putting them up for review, and when we're kind of all running very smoothly, we can sometimes get through about one a day, maybe more like 5 or 6 a week, you know, it kind of slips a day here and there. But then other times, like, you know, there's a holdup or something, someone's away, or just like there's a really challenging blurb, and then we won't manage to get a new one out for a few days. So it's a slow process.
Yeah, but I think like it makes total sense that you would kind of learn by doing that, because I feel like you very rarely sit down to think like about specific strategies for specific cards, and you kind of like, I pick that up like through playing games, but it's a very different, very cool approach to really focus.
It really forces
on,
you to use your brain. I do have a tradition of every time I like draft the blurb for a card or like go work on somebody else's draft, it really feels like I will almost immediately get a game with that card and lose heavily.
No!
it's like a pattern. I mean I'm sure it's just that I happen to notice that when that happens, but it's actually very funny.
That like, is so funny.
Oh, I thought I knew this card.
Yeah, I've learned all about it.
Exactly. Who do I think I am, like trying to draft something to tell other people how to use it? But yeah, no. And also it's like a great opportunity to interact again with some really good players in the project. So
yeah, definitely.
Very fun. Highly encourage people to join in.
Yes, this will be the advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, please check out those channels
mm-hmm.
now and get your votes in. Very cool. Okay, jumping back to more general Dominion stuff. How do you deal with losing matches? Is it something that keeps you up at night, or do you just shrug it off?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't think I'm like too badly affected. Like, I mean, nobody loves losing, right? But I do find actually, like, regardless of whether I win or lose a match, it's like it can keep me up at night a bit, you know. Like it takes me a little while to come down afterwards from if I perceived it as like an important match or something. It's definitely sticks with me. I would like to say I don't mind losing too much. I don't think it really bothers me. It's definitely harder in League than on ladder, again, because it feels like, you know, with League there are really so few games in a season, and it doesn't take very many going badly to suddenly you're having a very bad season. Whereas on ladder, you know, you just, every game is worth what that game is worth. You just play some more games, and or you don't, and then you come back later and you play some more games, you know. It's so yeah, I definitely find losing in League tougher, I guess. I don't know about coping with it. Nothing specific, I don't think.
I'm just like always very miserable if I lose. Well, it's not true. It's not true. Like sometimes I'm just like, I mean, sometimes it's just like so clear, right? When you play against someone who's just like superior, and you're like, yeah, okay, fine.
But that doesn't feel bad at all to me, right? Because it's just like, oh, this person like wildly outplayed me. Maybe I learned something. That was cool. It's definitely more frustrating if you feel like it was a close match, but then maybe like the games where you won, you feel like you won by a lot, but then the games where you lost, you feel like it was very close, but you don't have anything to show for that. And you're like, well, is that just bias? Maybe it's not even true. Maybe, who knows? That's more frustrating, definitely. Yeah.
For sure. Do you watch other players' matches? And if so, who do you enjoy watching?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I enjoy a lot of the commentators. They're great. They all do such a good job. Yeah. And, like, I think it's a really, like, such a good service to the community as well that these top players will talk through their matches. So,
Massively appreciate it. Yeah, it's so nice. I often catch myself, like, thinking when I'm watching a game, I'm like, why is there no commentary? Like when I'm, I don't know, preparing dinner or something, and I can't really do it myself, but I'm like, I would love to just like have someone commentate this now.
Oh, I know the feeling. It's like, oh, the entitlement. And yet, I want my commentary.
I do.
No, totally. Yeah. At least you're like meeting the call of non-hypocrisy there, because you do commentate your own matches. That's a very good practice as you preach. I'm so far mostly too something to do that. I don't know what exactly.
Well, I think it's the same as with the feeling of stress, right? With like ladder or tournaments, I feel there's like definitely a spectrum where people just think they can like think better if they force themselves to articulate, and then there are people who are like, no, that just like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like an extra process laid on top for me. I like the couple of times I have given it a go though in the Coven server, it's like, I think it does help with focus for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's made me a lot slower, and I'm pretty sure that nothing I've ever said would be of like any actual interest to another person.
Agree to disagree. But yeah, it definitely slows you down. Definitely. Yeah.
For sure. But cool to have afterwards for like your own analysis, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I'm still like on my way. I have been asked if I wanted to like record commentary and upload it to YouTube, and I was like, I am so scared.
Oh, you should absolutely do it.
Yeah, no. Maybe.
You absolutely should then.
Maybe in like a couple of months, but I don't know.
That's not very long. We can wait yet. Till then. I'll check back in a couple of months.
Yeah.
See where you're at.
I mean, I'll be happy if I can do like regular commentary again. Like, I don't need the edit stress of being like, okay, this is going to be
also forever.
Yeah,
but you can pick and choose which ones. Like, you don't have to upload every match, I suppose.
True, but then like the other thing is like my commentary is just like 50 to 70% singing.
I've listened to your commentary; it's great. 100% YouTubeable. Like the singing is definitely a pull factor, not a bug.
It's definitely like a distinguishing factor, I would say. I guess if I ever start a channel, it'll be like Singing Dominion or something.
Perfect. Oh, now you have to. That name is too good.
Yeah, I'll trademark it. It's mine. Don't steal it.
Oh yeah, you don't worry about threats from me. That would not be my channel name. No one needs to hear that.
Just in general, do you have thoughts on League, on the division size or the season length or anything?
So we had this question just in the last feedback form, I believe. And what did I write? I think I wrote that I mostly prefer the current setup, at least to the proposed change. So I think the proposal was to have more players and a longer season, right?
Or less players.
I think it was fewer matches per player. Fewer games per match and more matches, so more opponents. If I remember correctly. So I think, like, I do see the attraction in fewer games per match, definitely, because six games is a lot. I definitely find it hard to focus for six games in a row. But at the same time, I think lengthening the season doesn't sound that appealing, because it already feels a bit few and far between that you actually kind of, you know, get to reap the fruits of your efforts in League and move up or down. And I also feel like just no one would play in the first week or two if the season was longer. It's already people don't want to play in the first week or two.
No.
So yeah, I like it the way it is, but I can definitely understand the appeal of four-game matches. Those are nice.
Hmm.
I wouldn't want fewer total games, though, I don't think, per season. It's already so few, and they're already so high stakes.
I think those were all of my Dominion questions. Do you want to share about some of your other hobbies?
Sure. Other hobbies. So, do enjoy cycling. It's pretty nice. It's a way to get out and get some fresh air, move around, see some countryside or whatever. I love walking, hill walking, that kind of stuff. I haven't done a ton of it recently, but do really enjoy it when I get the chance. Some running. I grew up swimming, which I still, like, it's definitely my first love as a sport. Mm. I was a competitive swimmer, like, all the way through school, through university. Absolutely loved it.
Cool.
I don't swim a lot anymore, but I do really miss it. And, at some point, my plan before the pandemic hit was I had just got myself an actually nice road bike for the first time. So I've always had a bike, but, you know, like, very much for transport rather than for going out for cycling for leisure. So that was my first time having, like, a nice bike. and the idea in my head was that I was going to join a triathlon club and at some point do some triathlon. But the pandemic was a small spanner in those works. So I did a lot of cycling during the pandemic and quite a bit of running. But I did not do a ton of swimming because it was not very feasible.
Yeah.
I still harbour that interest at some point. I'd like to do one, but I have to get back into swimming. And, you know, when you've done something to what used to be a high standard and then you're not good at it anymore because you haven't really done it very much in a long time, it feels so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you feel every little ounce of just how bad you are.
Yeah.
So although, like, I do enjoy it when I go swimming, it's also like, oh my goodness, is this treacle? What has happened to me? but I really enjoy all those sports. What are the hobbies? We already touched on crosswords. Those are very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy cryptic crosswords. Yeah, should do more of them. Mm-hmm. Dominion has kind of, to an extent, eaten that part of my week, I think.
And I know that you also enjoy cooking.
Cooking is great. It's like,
would that qualify as a hobby?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because it's like, it's a very utilitarian thing, right? It's like,
true.
Have to eat. But I'm like, I guess for me, I'm very much not like an arty or a crafty person. That's just, I'm very bad at that kind of thing. I have no like visual art talent whatsoever. So I do find that to be one kind of place where I guess like making something with my hands is like, it's a satisfying thing to do as a person, right? So I guess cooking is kind of my outlet for that to an extent. I do like it. I definitely spend more time in the kitchen than I would need to like, you know, meet the need of feeding myself. So, yeah, maybe it counts as a hobby. It's definitely fun.
And then I have a question that is maybe a silly question. You will have to tell me, but you are a linguist. Does that mean that you like literature? Or is it because, like, my first degree was in theater studies and it was very important that, like, we didn't read plays because that's what the, like, literature studies folks do.
I see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm sorry if that's a silly question.
No, not at all. That's, like, an interesting spin. I haven't heard it in quite this form before, but it's a spin on a very common question, which is that normally if you tell people that you're a linguist, the question is, oh, how many languages do you speak? I think that's probably the equivalent of what you're getting at, which, like, I mean, it's not really what linguistics is all about. So, yeah, I guess as a linguist, I'm primarily interested in language as a phenomenon rather than languages, though obviously those are manifestations of language, so they're extremely interesting in that sense, but it's like the underlying structure and the cognitive processes going on underneath that really sort of make me tick in terms of the interest in language. But literature, yeah, I've not had that take on that question before. I do very much enjoy literature, but I guess I don't really consider that very related to my interest in linguistics. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation.
No, it makes total sense the way you explain it, and I feel like it's a silly question.
it's definitely not a silly question. It's not at all.
Well, someone sent in a lot of questions. And I'm going to ask you some of those. Although I have to say that someone sent in a couple of sneaky questions too.
Oh, no.
I think they are quite fun.
Oh, no. I'm very afraid of the sneaky questions.
Although, wait, okay. I mean, we have to address some of the questions, I guess. We don't want to make Sean sad.
No one wants to make Sean sad.
No. So Sean wants to know, among many other things, what languages do you speak? I also want to know.
So I'm definitely not very much of a polyglot. So definitely not, like, by the standard of people who are not native English speakers, who all speak many languages with amazing fluency. It's always very impressive to me. So I spent a fair bit of time studying Spanish and Russian. My Spanish, I think, is probably still fairly passable, but it would definitely take me a bit of time to get warmed up. I think I haven't used it a lot. My Russian, very sadly, is like mostly gone, I think. Like, I did it very intensely for a couple of years, and then I almost completely quit, which is really sad. I would have loved the opportunity to like keep that up better. Such an interesting language.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some German, but I think I would struggle to use it like productively in conversation. I think if I came and spent some time in Germany, it would probably get going a little bit. But yeah, in general, I know a lot more about languages, like a little bit about quite a number of different languages than I know actual languages.
Yeah, I have to say, I guess like Russian is to me...
You speak Russian, right?
Well, it's probably similar to you. Like, I understand it mostly, but like, I can't
already
actively,
that's,
like,
yeah.
No, I can't really speak.
I can still read it like a little bit if I get warmed up, but like, to understand it spoken now, I would really struggle, I think.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
It's definitely like one of the most beautiful languages
I know. I love it. Yeah.
It's so... Yeah. So soft. I don't know if that's how you would describe a language, but it's like, it's very smooth.
It's very palatalized, right? I think that's probably like the feature that you're referring to.
Probably.
Like, if you think about the thing that the soft sign does to consonants that it follows, it's like palatalization, right? It just like slides the consonant towards the palate. And I think that's probably the feature that you perceive as soft. I find Russian like very prosodically pleasing as well. It has like a nice rhythm to it.
It flows really nicely.
What else do you speak apart from English, German, Russian?
French,
right?
Yeah, and then
it's very cool,
like a little bit of Yiddish, but really just
nice.
And also just
that's
because
really
it's like 75% German.
right.
So it's if I adopt a Bavarian accent, kind of Yiddish.
Perfect.
Yeah, but mostly like, I mean, apart from English, like French, I can hold a conversation in French. But it's like nothing compared to my level of English. Yeah,
I don't really know any French at all. Like, I find if I look at a French text, I can usually puzzle through it just from romance languages. But like, if you ask me to speak French, I would have absolutely no clue.
I just love French so much because it's so clear. Like, the pronunciation rules are so clear. I mean, apart from German, obviously, which I like think is like very
German
clear.
German is very transparent as well, right?
Yeah. But then, like in French, I just enjoy all the like different accents and stuff, which is like they just tell you exactly how they want to be pronounced, which is a thing that English.
That's a good feature. Yeah. I mean, the flip side of that, right, is that the English written form, if you know how to unpick it, tells you so much about the history of the word, which is kind of the flip side of that feature.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't make spelling it easy. Blame the great vowel shift.
I will. I have no idea what that is, but I will.
it was a event in English where all the vowels sort of got pushed around the vowel space, and we've quite largely retained the spellings before that point. So that's why spellings are so funny.
Was that
to a large extent
a concerted action? Was that like?
Oh no, no, it's just the kind of thing that's very common to happen, like
okay,
over time in languages. I guess what's slightly different about it is that the writing system was already well established, so it's kind of preserved in that. And I guess not being France, we haven't had any kind of meddling body from above to like reform the spelling system. And
it sounded like a historical date, like this was the day the vowel shift happened.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, very very instituted. Very gradual process. Yeah. Like Chaucer is pre-vowel shift. Shakespeare is like towards the tail end of it. I think it was going on at about that time. So that's why in a lot of this old poetry, you'll see rhymes that don't seem to rhyme anymore.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Although actually, like in the translations, I don't know if we have like rhyme translations. I was wondering about that the other day, like poetry, because I was trying to translate a poem, and then I was just, I mean, I didn't think about it too much, but I started thinking about how you can't really translate poetry.
Right. That's like a very interesting problem, but like a fundamentally incompletely solvable problem.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure there are some brilliant translations of poetry out there, but...
And then, like, the question which you sometimes get, like, with translation in general, like, how much of the translation is, like, its own creative work, right? I mean, of course, you're kind of, like, it's the creative act in itself, right? Which I feel like comes forth, like, a lot more in poetry than in prose. But it's...
Yeah, definitely. And, like, form can of course be very important in prose, but in poetry, form is like a central component of the thing, right? So yeah, it's a really interesting problem.
Yeah, it just made me sad because I wanted to, like, it was a poem that like means a lot to me, and I tried to like translate it, and it was like everything I love about it, like, it's lost,
it's gone. Oh, but as someone who loves the poem, like, that's who should translate it, right?
Good point. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So you should keep out your translation. From what into what were you going?
German to English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to read it.
I was thinking. I mean, it's a poem by Rainer Maria Rilke, so I assume there is already a translation.
Oh yeah, but don't look that up.
Okay.
It's not the way forward.
I just remember, like, I used to work at a publishing house, and I just know that like, you can't really make money writing books unless you are like, you hit a nerve. But like translators, they have like the worst contracts ever. Like, you can't really make money off translations unless you translate, like, I don't know, Harry Potter level books.
That's...
And I always felt how unfair that is, because there's like so much work,
so much skill
going into it, and you are like so potentially like so influential, and it's just, it made me sad.
Yep.
And also, like, you give up, like, all your rights, basically.
Yeah. And also, like, that must be such a demanding creative process. And at the end of the day, like, you were just, in quotation marks, the translator.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and you don't have any rights to your creation, right?
Right.
So just, unless it's, like, Harry Potter level. But,
sure.
I mean, yeah.
But, yeah, fun to do for a personal project, right?
It is. Actually, I mean, like, it's very easy to kind of learn English when you're a non-native English speaker. But one thing that I always felt like it was such a cool project, speaking of Harry Potter, which I don't really like to, but speaking of, when the sixth book was published in English, that was, I think, in the summer of 2005 or something, my mom gave my brother and I kind of the project to translate it into German so she could read it.
Idea.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so
we
spent the summer holidays translating a book from English
to
German.
And your mom is like, this was such a genius idea. The kids are so quiet.
Exactly. And it was so cool. And I remember, like, when I finally got the official translation, I was kind of bummed because I felt like we invented like cooler names and stuff because we tried to give it, because the names are like so like I don't know how you say that in English, but in German you would say like sprechende Namen, like speaking names. And we were trying to like find good German versions
equivalents
of those names.
Yeah, that's really smart.
But then like in the official translation they just had all the English names, which makes sense, but
it's way less fun. I at some point when I was learning German in school struggled my way through, I think it was the second Harry Potter book in German, just like
wow,
to try and make my German go.
Yeah,
it's like it's a very accessible way to do it, right, with like a story that you already know.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
that was good.
I mean, I have like that's typically how I learn, like I have the French one, French Harry Potter, and like four Russian ones.
Because, oh, nice.
Yeah.
I never got into a Russian version. I always, because I picked up Russian like in an intense form in university, we were always just supposed to like immediately read the, you know, the actual Russian text, and it was so hard.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it was like, it was really enjoyable. Like I would actually sit and make translations because there was just no way I could like read them quickly enough to follow what was going on otherwise.
Yeah.
So it was such a process. But yeah, I certainly learned a lot. And I wish I could still read some Russian books. And the way to do that would be to get a Russian book and read it really slowly. But
not
enough hours in the day.
No, definitely not. Yeah, maybe I'll pick. I mean, yeah,
maybe
I'm not
a short story.
maybe I haven't decided yet, like I'm moving in September and I haven't decided yet if I'm going to keep my Harry Potter books or not, but I feel like I don't think I'll be able to separate.
I think I do have a full set, but they're all at my mum's house somewhere. I haven't seen them in many years.
it's not the worst place for them.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Where were we?
We were on fun topics.
Yes, we were. Oh, yeah. Sean sent this sentence for you to say, which
I do actually
two
have
sentences,
this, yeah.
Actually. Would you like to read those out?
Yeah, sure. I very much would, actually.
Great.
Okay. These are great. I love this question. So the Marquis's forte was draw, but its plus bio is better than herbalist. Kudos on having an extra bundle of pasta in the garage.
Oh, this is so fun. This is so fun.
I mean, it's very boring to me because all those are entirely normal pronunciations.
Of course. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why one chose those words.
Can't possibly imagine.
So what would be, like, okay, I know herbalist and herbalist.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where all of the differences are, actually.
Yeah, I was wondering. I mean, we don't have to talk about the M card.
That's a tough one. I think, do Americans say fort?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I would also say forte.
Mm-hmm. Forte. But you speak French.
Yeah. And also, I am like very enmeshed in US like culture and language, but also there are like strange residues from the British English we were taught at school. So
it's a
strange mix.
Yeah. Your accent is definitely more towards the American side.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
And then,
but I've noticed your spelling is sometimes very British. I definitely have noticed that.
Yeah, that's from school.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I think, do Americans say kudos?
I would say kudos, but kudos is probably not. It's I have no idea how Americans would say it.
Kudo. Yeah, definitely kudos. Yeah. Although it's not. I think it's. I have the impression it's also a more common word over there. I wouldn't say we use it a lot in British English. I don't know what's up with the bundle. Is that different?
I would say bundle.
Yeah, I mean, I have that Yorkshire vowel a little bit.
Yeah.
The pasta, I guess it's more like a... Oh, actually, no, that vowel is really difficult for me. What's your best American pasta? Maybe you can do it better.
I mean, it has to be something like pasta. I don't know where it's like.
Yeah, I think it's like a pasta. Oh, but that vowel is
pasta.
That wasn't a good rendition because that vowel is tough for me.
And also like I think I'm just biased because I would say pasta the way we say it, and the way I imagine Italians say it.
Makes sense. Yeah, I mean, we all say it the way we imagine Italians.
True. I like my favorite is gnocchi. Actually, gnocchi and zucchini, because those are hard in German, and like you would find my favorite like pronunciation for gnocchi is knocchi.
Oh yes, yeah.
And
that's great.
And for zucchini, you would have like either zucchini or zucchini, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I've definitely heard like a gnocchi or something like that in English as well. And also I think Sean did manage to get the intrusive R into the like pasta in the garage, like probably I think it's very audible to Americans that I put the R into that string, like I think they would do much more of a pasta in. I don't know if you hear it or not.
No.
Maybe. I didn't hear it at all, but I know I'm saying it.
Interesting. I was wondering about the garage thing, because I would say garage.
Oh, garage, yeah. You hear garage here as well. But I think maybe is the stress the same? Garage. Yeah, I don't know. I perceive it as like a posh British pronunciation. Garage.
Interesting.
But I think the US is garage, right, with the second syllable stress. And then for me as a non-posh northerner, it's garage.
Yeah. No, that seems like intuitive for me to be garage. But I can't really... It's all passive for me. Like, I just feel like I picked it up somewhere. All right. So the next question is, do you generally like song parodies? Have you worked on song parodies outside of Dominion?
This is a funny question. Yeah, I mean, song parodies are fun. I've done them here and there, I suppose. Like, mostly just to amuse some friends with some silliness. And I guess I really enjoy messing around with, like, words and meter. Those are just really fun, enjoyable things to me. Specifically for song parodies, I think the one I most recently remember doing that was not a Dominion one was sometime during the pandemic, a group of friends did like a virtual treasure hunt kind of thing that we put together, and it was somehow relevant to that. I don't remember. It like fulfilled one of the treasure hunt briefs somehow, but that was it was a take on the Firefly theme song. And I don't even remember what it was, what kind of parody it was doing. But yeah, I did actually for that one go to the bother of playing and singing for myself. So that was less what? Enjoyable to listen to than your
I don't believe
amazing.
That.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was very, very bad. Not at all musically talented, but it was very fun to do.
Well, that's the most important thing.
For sure.
Cool. Well, I hope there are lots of Dominion parodies in
we should do some
our more. Shared future.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good collaboration.
Yeah, we made a very great team. I feel like I'm also like very impressed. Like when I think back, because like on the current there are like 2.5 projects right now, with Dominion song parodies that have been going on for 3 or 4 months.
Is this what Sean was like somehow teasing me about in some way recently?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, I think you kind of, you know about it, but you probably just forgot about it. But
I think a couple of people hinted something to me about it, but I don't think I know about anything beyond like some kind of project is happening.
I was just like so impressed when I thought back on our like little. Our project that came together in like 5 days or so.
Oh yeah, we churned it out.
Yeah, because you were like so. Yeah, I don't know. You just had like so much energy, and then I was like, yeah, sure. I don't have anything else to do. I'm gonna like just
so
sing
you, like,
this now.
Immediately then, came back with this amazing recording, and I was like, what is
it? Yeah, that was so cool.
That was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That was probably like one of my favorite things that has happened on the Dominion Discord.
Aww.
Because it's just, you know, it's just so fun when you do something silly and creative and someone else like bounces the silly creativity right back at you and just makes it better. And so fun.
Yeah, it was great. I've been like thinking about starting a server, a Bard server or something, like kind of get all the creative people in one spot and be like, okay, this is what I'm working on right now, you can like come in or not.
I really wouldn't I wouldn't put myself in that category at all though. Like I'm okay with the words, but yeah,
well
that's about where it...
but then maybe not a Bard, but the Wandering Minstrels. I don't know, like
Whatever. I don't think changing the name is
gonna... I mean, like, you would be the first person I'd invite because you're, like, the...
Oh, dear.
The songwriter.
Well, I'm sure it would be extremely fun.
The poet. I don't know. Sean had this question about the advent calendar.
Oh, yeah. Maybe quite similar to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, it was interesting because he sent this question. I was like, what is this question? Like, what? I don't understand. And then I was like, okay, it's true. Like, I know how the calendar came together because I started it, but how would like anyone else know? It's true.
Yep, that is knowledge that's in your head.
Yeah.
Not necessarily other people's.
Because, his question was more like, why did you start the advent calendar or something like that? And I was like, excuse me?
Well, I mean, the way it came about that I was doing all the silly rhymes was that you asked me, right, if I would be interested in
I object
answering
to
your
silly.
Questions. Oh, come on. Those are very silly.
They were great.
So I don't mean it in a derogatory way. They just were silly.
But
you were asking me if I wanted to answer the questions, right? And I was very perverse and was like, oh, how about I do this completely other thing instead that you didn't in any way ask for.
Yeah.
And you were very kind and accommodating of my
idea. It was great.
Idea.
It was great. I was like floored. I was like, what? You want to write like 24 rhymes? Yes, please.
Oh, that was more. So fun. I had such a blast doing it. And it was like, it was so nice of you to accept my.
Of course.
My silliness to be part of the project. So yeah, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I'm kind of starting to think about what we can do this year, but I guess there's going to be the Dominion Online Championship and I mean, first my vacation, and then in September we will see.
Gosh, you can eat up a year very quickly by having a holiday and then a championship, and then suddenly it's like winter.
Yeah, and I definitely want to like start prepping for the advent calendar sooner than I did last year, because last year it was just like, I don't know, a fluke. I was like, this would be fun. And then it was like with
it's
you
like
with
just
the song.
In time.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, this has to happen now. Like, I can't wait another year. But it was like, it was quite exhausting. So I will try to.
That must have taken a lot of time, because like even my little bit was like, I think I had a couple of quite long sessions where I just like noodled a bunch of those little rhymes out and rejected a lot of drafts.
Yeah.
Got rid of a lot of words. Yeah. But it was, quite a bit.
Yeah. But it was also so fun. And I'm like, I'm kind of like a Libby, I guess, in that sense where I'm like, in the process, it's all like very exhausting. And like, I'm just maybe doing too much. But then like in the end, when it's all done,
it's worth it
and,
afterwards.
Yeah, it's so worth it. I'm like,
yeah.
I can't believe
the
this
happened. Is great. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's so nice to like bring everyone in and we'll just be like, okay, who do I want to like engage here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so great that everyone is so game. It's just
I think
so
the community is just so nice for that, right?
Yeah.
Like people are always up for getting involved and stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
It's nice.
So sometime in September I will maybe reach out to you about...
I'll have to see if I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
I'll let that marinate.
Perfect. Maybe before we go into the sneaky questions... Or no, let's do the sneaky questions now. Okay, so Sean being Sean sent like a billion questions.
So many.
He also sent a couple warm-up questions of his own for you, which you don't, like, if you don't want to, you don't have to answer, but
I can try.
All right, so warm-up question... The Queen, yes or no?
Wow. Oh dear. I mean, are we asking for like an essay on the constitutional history of my poor country here?
Yes.
Oh,
obviously.
Dear me. I mean, if I have to say yes or no, I guess I'm going with no.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not elaborate further.
Sort of the same vein, but Harry or William?
Oh God. Dude, I mean, I'm sure they're like perfectly nice people. I don't know them. Nor do I care about them in the slightest.
Oxford or Cambridge?
Oh, I may have a slight bias here.
That's allowed.
Yeah, so my undergrad is from Cambridge and I absolutely loved it. It was like probably the best period of my life, I think. It was such a good time. I have a lot of affection for that place and university. It was so good. Yeah, has to be my pick. I have also worked at the other place and it's fine.
Right. And then the last one is Darwin or Newton?
Oh, interesting. That's tough. Like, those are both very cool discoveries, right? I think I would go with Darwin because... what is the reason? I don't know, like, physics is extremely cool, and obviously, like, you know, the Newtonian discoveries were such a cool paradigm shift. But there's something like, there's something very human about understanding where humans came from, right? I think that's like, that's a very human desire to want to know how that came about, right? Mm. And so I think I might have to give it to Darwin, but yeah, tough.
yeah, I think I'm with you there, just because, like, as a historian, I'm like, like, that's definitely, it's what I live for, like, knowing origins and how things came to be and why things are the way they are today.
Yeah. I mean, if you go deeper into those questions, then you very much start needing the physics as well, right? So.
No. Okay, the next question is hilarious.
Are these still sneaky questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, still a couple of those. Explain and provide your own opinion in 10 words or less. Brexit.
Oh, God. Actually, that will suffice. I just did it.
All right. Thank you.
That was exactly what I wanted to say about that. Yeah. I'm sorry is the other thing I want to say about that.
What's up with those crazy hats at the royal weddings?
What?
The crazy hats at the royal weddings. It's not just the royal weddings, right? It's like crazy hats
Are we talking generally about hats at weddings? Yeah, I guess that's a thing.
Isn't that also like for races or something where people wear those?
Horse races, yeah.
Crazy hats?
Like fascinators. Is that what we're talking about?
Ooh. Is that the word for it?
Well, so I'm the wrong person to ask here, but a fascinator is, like, I believe, not exactly the same as a hat, right? It's that little, I don't know if it comes on, like, a band or something. I've never worn one, can you tell? But, yeah, I think the little fancy things that aren't really hats, but are, like, just sort of attached to your head somehow. I think the word for those is fascinator.
Why?
But, like, is hats at weddings not a thing elsewhere?
I have, like, very little experience with weddings, so
I mean, I wouldn't say it's so common either. Like, a lot of the weddings I've been to have been probably short on hats, but it's definitely, like, a traditional thing, and I didn't realize it was a British traditional thing. That's very interesting.
Maybe. I should have done research. But why is it called fascinator? That's, like, such an interesting word for it.
It is. I guess because it's so fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I've no idea.
Fun. Well, I will definitely have to look this
up. Yeah, I feel like I was the wrong person for this question. We'll have to do some research.
Sean also wants to know how you take your tea.
Oh, well, in very classically boring British fashion, in that I like English breakfast tea with a tea bag. You put the boiling water in. It should be boiling. Do not put it in the friggin' microwave. Boil it in the kettle. Then you, like, moosh the tea bag around a bit, unceremoniously dump it out, chuck a bit of milk in there. It's, like, it's very boring, and it's the best way to make tea.
Okay. That's the British way.
Yeah, I would say so. Some people add sugar, I guess.
What about lemons?
No.
Okay, sorry. I don't know why I thought that was the way. I'm not a, like, hot beverages drinker.
No, I mean, I've had German colleagues who do lemon tea. It's not just you. It's a very weird idea that your country has.
Maybe it's a German thing. Interesting. Huh. I will have to look into this.
It's also, like, I've tried it, you know, and it's not bad. It's a perfectly nice drink. It's just not tea.
And then Klingon or Elvish?
I don't know really anything about either Klingon or Elvish. I've read Lord of the Rings. I have not watched Star Trek, so maybe I should give it to Elvish, although from the music channel, I did get extremely hooked on something from one of the brackets, which was, I don't know who submitted it, but that Data and Picard song, I don't know if you listened to it, it was like a was a Star Trek remix, I believe. Not having seen any Star Trek, I can't be 100% certain, but I believe that's what it was. And that was so good. I really liked it. And it has something which I think is probably Klingon in it, but I'm guessing. So, yeah.
Interesting. Oh.
Well. Yeah, I've not really got into the Conlang scene ever myself. Very cool thing some people do.
Yeah. Well, someone will speak up, I hope, like the submitter. You don't really participate in the brackets themselves, do you?
Well, yeah, no. I submitted once for a year that really, like, I had some attachment to you. And it was, like, that was fun. But it took so much time. Because once I'd submitted, I felt like I had to vote on everything very faithfully.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, it was very, very time-consuming.
Yeah.
So I thought I would prefer in future to be more of a side observer of this process.
Yeah.
So I quite often listen to the brackets, but I don't tend to vote. It's a cool project. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that people are doing it.
Yeah. I find it so fascinating because I feel like that's where those four channels are, like, the most active channels sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, a lot Discord. Goes on in there.
Yeah. And the people are so dedicated. And I'm taking a break right now. Like, I haven't listened to, like, I submitted to this year, but I haven't listened to any of it because I'm wired that way where I can't just, like, randomly listen to one or two songs. Like,
I'm with you.
Yeah. If I start listening to it, like, I have to listen to everything. Like,
for me, it's the voting. Like, I can pick and choose the listening, but if I start voting, then I have to start doing it very systematically, listening to everything and voting on it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be able to submit and then not vote. That's very brave.
Well, I mean, it's also like a year where, like, it's not like near and dear to me. Like, I don't think I could do this for anything like 1998 and post 1998 because I'm just like so, like, emotionally invested.
Yeah. I think they have a couple of the, like, early to mid 2000s years that are still left that I think are probably going to be quite tempting to me.
Oh,
that was like formative time for us, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. I'm dreading those. It's gonna be. I will be so sad. I will be so sad. I will need help, but
I'm sure I can be there for you.
Yeah, but it's it's really fun. It's a cool project, but also, like, I feel it's a bit too fast-paced.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get why it has to be. There's a lot of years and a lot of music to get through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't keep up.
But then again, like, why? You could also just, like, take your time and have it be a little longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that people have been, like, playing it for over a year now. Probably.
I think it's a lot more than that. Yeah, I don't know when it started. It definitely predates me on the Discord, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That is for sure. But the dedication is quite remarkable.
Indeed.
Which brings me to my next question. What are your three favorite Discord channels of the main Dominion server?
Well, I think the language is probably an obvious choice. I definitely hang out there quite a bit. That's a really fun channel. There's a lot of enjoyable chat that goes on there. I think sometimes I definitely have a tendency to get onto my personal hobby horses, which I don't know if that's entirely, like, desirable behavior, but nevertheless, that's where I go to do. I have opinions, I will share them. There's really fun conversation in there. And I'm always just like, I find it so fun to just hear about different varieties and variations in the way in which people use certain phrases or expressions or whatever. That's just, it's endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that. Would probably also pick food. Like, that's just such a fun channel. Like, everything is, at least the vast majority of the time, just very uncontroversial in there. Just people chatting about food and what they ate that they liked recently or made or whatever. That's things that they want to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very nice, chill channel. and to pick one that's actually Dominion related.
You don't have to.
But I will. I think I would go with the Wiki Blurb Review channel, which we already talked a bunch about the Wiki project. But yeah, that's I guess it's not necessarily so much the channel itself as like all the underlying stuff behind that channel. But that's where it all kind of finishes off the process. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in that one. And I enjoy it.
And who would you be interested in hearing an interview with on the pod? That's my last question.
I did think about this one. I don't know if my answers are very original. They're probably people that others have named, but it would be very cool to hear from Steph, who runs the client. I think he would have just so many interesting things to talk about. And also Saviri, right? He has done so much work on the front-end stuff. And I feel like Saviri is just an absolute hero of making the UI work better. So yeah, I would love to hear from either or both of them. And in a similar vein, like Kaver Sapien, I feel like would be a really interesting person to talk to, like about Dombot. And also about the cool adventures that he goes on with his dogs. That's I would love to. He has a lot of very cool looking pictures. I'd love to hear about that. And one final suggestion is that clearly I think Shanahan needs to come on so that there's a lot of people out here who need the opportunity to retaliate with sneaky questions. So, you've got to do it at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be like a whole interview of just sneaky questions. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, sorry.
Well, maybe it won't, because maybe, he'll be the one person who doesn't get any sneaky questions.
Maybe. So,
I don't know. I would have to think about some.
Well, there's still a little time, but I am planning like a big trip to the US next February. And Shauna's gonna be like one of my stops. So I'll be able to do like, hopefully, if everyone plays along, like do three interviews, and Shauna's one of them. Yeah. And very, cool. Very exciting news, but Steph has also agreed to be my guest.
That's cool.
On the pet. So this is gonna happen actually, and I'm like I'm very excited. I'm always excited and always nervous, but with Steph it's just like
Yeah, I mean, anytime I've played him on Ladder, which isn't very often, but like anytime I've met him, he's so friendly on Ladder. I'm sure he'll be like really fun to talk to.
Yeah, yeah. And no, I mean, I know, but it feels like so, so important. I don't know. And also, like, there's so much I want to know.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can already start thinking about questions you would like to, like me to ask.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for spending your evening with me.
Thank you. This is really fun. I hope I haven't taken up too much of your time or too much of your listeners' time. I don't know whether anything I said is interesting. This was very fun to me. So thank you for having me.
To me too, of course. I always forget to say goodbye. So thank you again and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Have a good night. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks again to Seltrosa for taking the time. Attentive listeners and eager specs will have noticed that Seltrosa, in fact, played 6 games against Akuchi for Allies Mix and not 7. The Coven server we are talking about briefly is a server for non-male identifying Dominion players. Feel free to DM me if you're interested in joining. Thank you so much to CR Lundy, Monster Cheese, Shanahan, and Alibi1152 for sending in questions! Sel and I have also started a book club where we're gonna read the Sally Lockhart series by Philip Pullman starting sometime in October, so if you're interested in joining us, DM either of us or write us in the literature channel on Discord. Thanks to all of you for tuning in, and see you next time. The game has ended. Bye!